Hey, After Buzzers, before we move on to your next topic, we just want to say thanks to our sponsor, Anchor. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. Plus, there are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Also, Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor FM to get started.
Edie takes a stand, then backs down. Julia is finally in love, and Roxy continues her downward spiral. Let's talk about it, guys. It's the Almost Family After Show. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
There it is.
I know. I feel like it's been forever,
it
guys.
Has.
I know.
It really has.
Happy Turkey Day.
It's a family
Happy
reunion.
Holidays.
Every yes, time. It's
every
an Almost Family
time.
Reunion.
Every yeah. single time. Guys, tonight we are getting into the Almost Family After Show. We're covering two episodes tonight. We're covering Season 1, Episodes 6 and 7, Culture AF and Thankful AF, respectively. Tonight we're going to get into Edie's continued indecision, Julia's new boo, Roxy's downward spiral. Of course, we've got our news and gossip predictions and our special segment. I am Princess Carol, and I'm joined by my lovely co-panelists. So happy to see you guys. It's been forever.
I know. So happy to be back.
So happy. Yes,
finally. Jess. What's up, guys? I'm Jess Lucero. Like we mentioned, we're so excited to be back.
I'm Bethany Jean, and I'm thankful AF to be here.
Thankful AF. I see what you did there. That's cute. I like it. All right, so let's go ahead and just get into some overall thoughts. Like I said earlier, we're covering two episodes, so maybe we can combine it and make it like, what is it, Tuck Durkin? Is that what they made in the past?
Oh my gosh, Turducken.
Turducken, yes.
This is the Turducken of episode recap.
Yeah. What'd you guys think?
Well, I will say that I noticed with these past two episodes, as well as the episode before, we kind of talked about it a little bit, but it seems like they were all shot a little bit differently. I actually liked the way these ones were shot. I felt like I was just more interested in it, and it followed the stories a little bit better throughout these past two episodes.
That's a good point.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just really enjoying watching Julia find someone she's legitimately interested in.
So
that's been fun.
Yeah, someone who really wants to be with her, because I feel like Leon, I think we'll get into it later, but Leon can be a little harsh at times.
Yeah.
Or just a little. Just a touch.
And also, just piggybacking on that, I really like that Julia is starting to dress fun again.
I didn't even notice that.
Well, I never think of these things.
When her whole world was crumbling and she was depressed, she was dressing real understated, kind
of. Oh my gosh, that's fun.
And now she's got like this super funky geometric, like,
leave it to Bethany to notice these things.
Yeah, she has this really cool chevron jacket on for the Thanksgiving set. I was like, there she is, she's back. Just having fun.
Bethany
Shout
notices the stylist and the hairstylist.
It's what I do. I can't help it.
I respect that.
I love it.
Yeah, shout out to Wardrobe for those little touches that we don't even realize.
It just made me wonder if in the direction thing, if that was part of it.
Right.
Like, she's back. She's wearing bright colors. She's
Yeah, that could definitely be a part
life.
Of it.
She's in love-ish, kind of.
Ish.
Considering-ish being in love-ish.
Well, speaking of ish... and all the issues. Let's go ahead. I wanted to talk about, because y'all know Roxy is my favorite girl.
Yeah.
And Roxy...
I get it, too.
I have a heart
She's
for
a good
her.
Time.
But in this episode, I finally... I feel like we saw a chink in her armor, and I am nervous to see where it'll go, but it could end up well. So in episode 6, we got to see her interact with the new gym owner.
Right.
And he is creepy. He's such a creeper.
I don't get it.
I don't, but I think she also, her actions are consistent with her being a victim, and she doesn't
realize
it.
And you also see Julia and Edie kind of again, they show their sisterly ways with her in that episode. I believe it was that episode. Correct me if I'm wrong. But where they're talking about her relationship with that gym coach, and they're saying the same things that we were wondering when we were in here last. We were saying, how old is this guy? Yeah, when did they date?
It looks inappropriate.
It looks very inappropriate. And I just feel like the way Roxy acts, it's like she's still slightly smitten over him. Mm-hmm. She just acts different around him. And when he tells her, dress a little differently. Don't wear those sweatsuit or sweatpants anymore. And like, I just don't like the way he talks to her.
Well, he was part of her formative years. And there was a romantic relationship. So even if she loathes him or she feels like she's getting past it, it's really normal for people to carry this weird kind of like concern for their opinion of them. Like, they're just always wanting approval from that person.
Yeah, I didn't even see it as like smitten. I saw it as a weird power play. Mm-hmm. Like, he still has control.
Like a definitely. Almost.
Mentor or even
I don't
darker.
Mean that positively, but
right.
Like she looks up to him in some regard.
Right, exactly. Or even just I mean, she was clearly underage, so a victim, victimizer, that's the word.
Yeah,
I'm really hoping that, especially with the encouragement of Isaac, that Roxy can get up on her feet and start to stand up to him. Right now, she's kind of...
Definitely.
I feel like she's kind of taking it out on Izzy a little bit, and I'm hoping it doesn't continue that
way.
What do you guys think of that?
Also, okay, so something that I've been told in the past is, and I'm not sure exactly how to word it, but basically, when you go back to places that you have been in your past, you basically go back to the way that you acted at that time. My chair over here is squeaking away, if you guys can hear that. But you basically go back to the way that you acted at that time. So, for example, if you go back home for the holidays, this is something that's kind of relevant for all of us right now. You kind of go back to acting like a child regardless of your age. When you're around your parents, you kind of act a little bit more like a child. You're like, okay, mom, if you want to fix my breakfast for me, I'm not going to be opposed.
You like assume the role of whoever you are to
group
of people.
So that's the way I see Roxy kind of acting in this episode and potentially throughout the rest of the season.
Totally agree with that.
Yeah, that's what I took away from it.
That's good insight.
You're so smart.
Thank you. Now I know. Now I have words behind the way that I act when I go home for the holidays.
We put it together.
It makes sense now.
Mom, you don't have to do my laundry. Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. Yeah, thank you so much.
If you were going to do it anyway. Well, someone else that I hope stands up for themselves more is Julia. So in this episode, we got to see her sit down with Donovan, and Donovan explained that, listen, he got teenagers. He's not really interested in having kids in the future. But we also see Julia begin to finally show a side of her that may want kids. And then she has this really cool conversation with Rivka, the newest sister. There's a new sibling in every episode. But what did you guys think? And I mean, I'm curious to hear your thoughts, Bethany, because Rivka does talk about how much joy being a mother has brought into her life, and that has been, I feel like, purpose fulfilling in a way.
Right.
So, yeah.
It's all about perspective.
Yeah.
And I think each person's goal. I thought I would have kids a lot younger than I did. And I probably would have sounded a lot like her at that time. Don't get me wrong. I have a child and she's the joy of my life.
Yeah.
But I also feel really stretched thin now I'm older because I have so much going on all the time, you know? Whereas I think if you get started young and you just make that like your lot in life, I think it feels very rewarding. She's doing what she set out to do. It's not like a child is a piece of the pie. Like, it is her pie. And I love that perspective.
Hearing that quote when Julia asked her if she felt like she missed out because she had 5 kids and she was only 28 at the time, I believe. And then she says, well, miss out on what? You know, having kids is the most meaningful thing you could do with your life. I just thought that that was, like, the best quote of the entire series so far.
And it is what we're designed to do.
True. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, there's just so... It's hard to be a career woman at this day and age.
Right.
Because you're shamed if you do and you're shamed if you don't.
True.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you kind of just can't get it right. And then if you're juggling it in the middle, believe me, you're not doing it all well enough. Like, there's just not enough of you. But I do like her traditional mindset, and she's fortunate that she has a lifestyle that caters to it. Mm-hmm. She obviously has a husband that supports her, and she doesn't have to go
hustle.
She's like, her kids are her job, and that's really cool.
Yeah. She also doesn't shame anyone for not having kids. You know, sometimes that can be an issue if people view things differently. For her, she was just like, she was talking about her own perspective, and she never once talked about, oh, well, why aren't you doing this, Julia? You know, why aren't you following in the same footsteps or anything like that?
True. It was very positive, very affirming. It wasn't I loved her. It wasn't that snootiness that you can get from some women who feel like this is their calling, and if you're not doing that, then you're less of a woman.
Right.
I really love Rivka's character, and the fact that not only did she cause Julia to reconsider some things, but even to press Leon and learn more about their family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in that, we got to learn more about Leon's history, and I feel like we got some insight into maybe why he made some of the choices he made. I don't know. Jess, what did you think?
So it's funny that you were saying that, because all this time, you and I especially have been like, we want more of their past. We want to know more about their past. What's going on? And that was, like, the very first time that they've mentioned anything about any of their past, really. Mm-hmm. So I was glad that Dr. Beckley finally mentioned anything about their past, and it kind of makes sense. You know, what he said totally makes sense.
Yeah.
But again, I did want more.
Always.
I can never get enough.
I'd like to know more, too. Especially because he's such a narcissist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's like, well, where did that stem from? Because narcissism can stem from a few things, but sometimes it can be, like, neglect. It can be both. And a lot of times it's established in the toddler years. Mm-hmm. So if you have a situation where you're a little bit neglected, like maybe you're a middle child in a family, like a huge family, or maybe your mom and dad are working multiple jobs. And you're not around them as much, or it can be the over-nurture. It can be both.
There's so many different ways where it can happen.
And I could see the neglect for his situation.
Definitely.
Because his mom made it very clear that he is the reason why her career was thrown
off
course.
Yeah.
She feels like she felt like she missed out. And I thought it was so interesting that he brought up that he never wanted Julia to feel unwanted. And in his connection, as weird as it is and as messed up as it is, he knows each of the kids that he contributed to, you know, and it seems like he
wants... What a delicate choice of words.
I'm trying.
You're doing great.
Thank you.
You're doing great, sweetie.
It seems like he wants to make a connection with them, even if it's just one thing in passing. Mm-hmm. So part of me wonders if just a very, like, maybe 5% of the reason why he chose to do what he did is because, and he continues to connect with these kids, is because he doesn't want them to feel unwanted. Like, he's just acting out from that place. I don't know. It's so interesting. Yeah. I want to learn more.
That is interesting.
You look like you have a lot to say.
No, I just always think it's so funny how he thinks that what he did is right, you know?
Still. Mm-hmm.
The whole time he thinks, well, without me, none of these people would have had any kids. And yeah, that's true. But that doesn't mean what you did is okay.
Oh, by the way, it doesn't mean they would not have had any kids.
Right.
It means he would have not fathered their
kids. He wouldn't have been the father. Correct.
Right. That's correct. Something different. They could have adopted. They could have looked into other scenarios.
Leon Beckley.
They would have been different kids because they would have not had Leon Beckley's blood coursing through their veins.
And their tooth tapping.
Yeah.
As well. I mean, it's a thing, I guess.
By the way, now that you mention that, not to, like, skip forward, but it's funny that at the beginning of episode 7, right? Hannah, the girl that we meet, she opens ceremony. She's tapping her teeth.
No!
So they go into it misleading us, like, maybe she really is. I didn't think about that until right now.
I want to get into that because Jessica and I have some thoughts. But before we move on to the next episode, Jessica also has a message for our fans
guys,
out there.
I'm excited to talk about episode 7, but before we move on to the next topic, we just want to say thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV Talk. We do ask that you guys, if you're tuning in on YouTube, make sure to give us a thumbs up. If you guys would like, we would love for you to subscribe and get notified every time that we post a video, every time we go live. Make sure to hit the bell so you get those notifications and leave some comments down below, because we like to hear whatever you guys have to say regarding our thoughts, or if you have some different thoughts, whatever. It's fun to go back and read on, honestly. And if you guys are tuning in on the podcast app, make sure to rate us 5 stars, please. And thank you. There is that beautiful, magical sound. Okay, now the beautiful sound effects. Now it's time to get into episode 7.
Hannah, they threw us off with the tooth tapping.
Yeah.
We saw this
that
girl.
That I didn't catch, and I'm sad.
I totally caught it. But then, plot twist, she's not related. Mm-hmm. But then, further plot twist, she's not really doing this for any reason. So she comes in, inserts herself into this family,
she's
into
not asking
Roxy's
for money.
Life.
She's not asking for anything. It was like a weird, trashy social experiment for her.
Dude, she seemed like she was tweaking out.
Yeah.
Did she not?
I don't know what tweaking out means.
Like on drugs? Like on drugs.
Oh, yes.
A tweaker.
You know what I mean?
Do you not know that term?
I'm a young old lady. I had no idea. But I've never heard of that term. Yeah. I learned something new today.
A tweaker is, I think in general, someone that does meth.
Okay. Oh, is it? Well, I don't know which drug specifically.
I think meth, though. Or crank? Coke?
I don't know. She was on something.
But just the way she was acting, whether it was at the dinner table, calling their family members out, or the way she's like, oh, this is my sister, Roxy, like the second they met each other, which I totally understand. If someone is your actual sister, like, you want to go up to them, you want to say hi, whatever. Well, in her case, I guess she does. Mm-hmm. But it just all seemed very strange to me.
It all seemed very strange. And then on top of that, she got Roxy high in front of her family.
Yeah.
Poor girl. Now she has to walk away shamed, except for Isaac. Isaac is sweet. But she got Roxy further down this rabbit hole than we've ever seen her since, like, the first episode. But she did it for nothing. When we talked about it, we were talking about the fact that we don't understand what the purpose of her storyline was.
Yeah.
She didn't want money. She didn't want... What was she there for?
I think it was just to show how vulnerable they all are.
Oh, how vulnerable Roxy is.
And how vulnerable specifically Roxy is, because of all these people, she's the one that felt like she was never really... She's, like, down to leave her family. She feels like her family's taking advantage of her, and she's looking for a new family.
Mm-hmm. She's
and
so desperate.
I think her followers, like, social media is her big thing. So I think social media followers just gathered her desperateness in this scenario.
Yeah.
And this girl's just, like, a kind of a messed up young girl that's like, oh, I can just tell her I'm her sister.
But I would never do this, but I get taking advantage of someone, but she got nothing. She got no money, didn't get a new family.
No,
didn't get anything.
Now she's literally got nothing.
Literally got nothing. So I'm just kind of like...
It's a meter, because she idolized her.
In a weird way.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is one of those plot holes. I guess she was there to expose to Roxy, open Roxy eyes.
I would just be interested to know how long this girl would have been in the picture had Leon Beckley not called her out at Thanksgiving dinner.
Right, yes. That was good. Yes. I liked that he did that. I was so happy.
Because the minute when she said that she wasn't going to take the test or whatever, I felt like... If I were Julia, I wanted Julia to press her and tell her, no, you need to come into the clinic. There is no, you're just going to sit here and we're just going to take your word for it. And I'm so glad the one thing that Leon did right that I agree with, other than giving the bonuses from his own account.
Yeah, that was sweet.
That was sweet. But pressing her and exposing her, I felt like it needed to happen. It shouldn't even got that far, but...
And I was glad that Roxy didn't go with her, because she gave her the perfect opportunity to go and to follow. Hannah gave Roxy the perfect opportunity to go along with Hannah, leave that family that they've created. But she didn't go. And I was like, okay, that's also a really good sign. Mm-hmm. She really enjoys being with all of them, you know?
Yeah.
That whole dinner, that was just a lot.
That was a lot.
And I felt so bad for Donovan walking into that.
Oh, my gosh. I know.
He has no idea what he's going into, guys. I'm kind of fearful for him. But speaking of no idea, what's going on, let's get into Dun Dun Dun, Edie.
Oh, so, I was like, where are you going with this?
I had to talk about my girl. Okay, Bethany, give me your thoughts.
I'm just struggling with her. It's offensive to me.
Right. Explain.
I am married, mm-hmm. but even if I wasn't married, mm-hmm. like, be who you say you are.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Like, if you don't want to be married anymore, then have that talk with your husband.
Right.
But the whole running around and, like, double life and, yeah. I don't know, I'm so over it. I was over it when it started,
really.
I was over it. And now I'm like, this has been going on for so long, and you're telling your family members and your in-laws that you guys are trying to get pregnant.
Right.
And then you're leaving that scenario moments later to go run to this woman's house because you can't get over
I just feel like...
Like what?
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's what bugs me is that...
Very erratic behavior.
Yes. So I totally understand someone being confused. Mm-hmm. So many people go through something like that. But what I don't like is that she's really just wanting to stay in the relationship with Tim because she chose him, she says. Mm-hmm. And it seems like she's just... Her competitive juices are coming out. Like, she doesn't want it to fall through simply because... She made... it's so complicated and hard to even explain.
Well, she's making him the puzzle piece. Like, yeah, you just have to fit here because this makes my life perfect.
Right.
And then also we learned that she works with her in-laws.
Yeah, that was weird.
I didn't know that.
That came out of nowhere.
Yeah, that did come out of nowhere. But
plot holes.
So it was like... So now she's got even more skin in the game. Now she's like, I want to make partner... And she's kind of getting this motherly, like, mentorship mm-hmm. and praise from her mother-in-law.
Her mother-in-law, yeah.
What bothers me the most, and I think it goes back to what you were saying, Bethany, is she really is playing both sides. And it's not like her... I don't feel like... Sometimes when you play both sides... You can kind of tell which way the person's leaning. You know, when a person is just doing a day job and they really don't want to be there, it's pretty evident. Mm-hmm. But I think with her, she's really playing both sides and she's trying to commit to both sides.
She's playing the audience. I feel played. That's why I'm like, irritated.
Right.
I'm like, wait, you said a minute ago you want to have a kid.
Right. In episode six, she betrays Amanda in front of the entire courtroom.
Yeah.
Then in episode seven, she goes to get more cognac for however many hours and goes to see her. And it's just, I want her to make a decision. I understand why she wants to stay with Tim because any relationship, not just marriage, I'm not married, but just friendships, it requires a level of commitment.
Definitely.
It requires a level of building, a level of work.
And honesty
is
such a huge part of it, though.
Right. And I don't know if...
the foundation.
Right.
Right. And I don't know if Amanda is... To me, I don't think Amanda has shown that she's deserving of jumping ship for her.
Yeah. And the fact that Amanda got so mad that Edie betrayed her, mm-hmm. I just don't understand that. It's like, she is doing her job. Did you expect her to not do her job because you guys are hooking up?
That's what happens when you date the person on the opposing side of your... Yeah.
That's what you don't.
That's
why
you don't.
Sleeping
with
Yeah, sleeping. Exactly. Literally, they have a saying for
that. There's
a
reason why there's rules against it. I mean, it's conflict of interest.
Yeah.
Right.
How can I be vulnerable and connected with you and also opposing you? And, like, trying to... beat you at something or
exactly. I agree it is a mess,
but what about the part where Tim has a coffee?
That's what I was just going to bring up. I think Tim is really going to force the issue because I don't think Tim is playing any games. I think he's like, this is my wife, you're not going to come into my territory.
I love him.
I like him too.
Yes, give me your thoughts. You're married, so I'm always interested in getting your perspective. But yeah, what'd you guys think of his interaction with Amanda? And clearly he knows something's up.
Yeah, when he went up to Amanda and he's like, here's the thing, Edie and I met in the same exact way when they were opposing each other back in law school. And basically, she ended up beating him, right?
She's mesmerizing, like, or he said intoxicating. going up against her, and she makes you feel like she's zeroing in on
yes.
you because
yes.
She wants you. She's intentional with you.
Yeah, and he was like, she kind of like led him on and this and that. Mm-hmm. And then Amanda's like, yeah, but you guys ended up getting married, which is true. Mm-hmm. She's got a point there, but does she think that her and Edie are going to get married? Because Edie is married.
Right. So she did bring that up. You're messing with
minor
a married
detail.
Woman.
Yeah, yeah. Right. It's just all so messy for me.
Poor Tim.
Don't you love how Tim
handles
it, though?
I want him to run for the hills.
Yeah.
Honestly. I like you, Edie, just fine.
I don't know what I want
I
for Tim,
can't
but...
I can't stand watching someone be made the fool.
Yeah. That is the really uncomfortable part.
Sucks. He doesn't deserve it. It's not like he's a bad husband.
No.
It's not like he's abusive or, you know, even though some of his interactions with Julia were slightly, you know, they were a little inappropriate, but still, by and large, he's remained faithful. And I'm in the same boat as you, Bethany. Like,
oh man,
he deserves so much more. So I don't think she knows that.
I know.
I just want her to.
She does.
She does. Ugh. But also, the weird thing about this whole situation is that it seems like everyone on social media and the Almost family, whoever's running their social media, seems mm-hmm. to be all for Amandy, I think is the shipping name.
Amandy.
But I don't understand. However, why are we the only three people that don't agree with this?
I don't know.
I need some people to comment what your guys' thoughts are and like walk us through why
would we support the affair.
Yeah, if you are in favor of this, just try and tell us like why and
I
how.
I can't even say it's a relationship thing because both of you guys are in relationships. I'm single, so it can't even be
we
that.
We have different viewpoints over here.
Right. We're all coming from different places.
Even then, we've all been in relationships. We've all been single. Like,
that's
ultimately,
true.
Ultimately, there's like a code of ethics if you have a romantic partner.
Not to mention the fact that, you know, you're a lawyer and you're defending your father and you're sleeping with the person who's trying to convict your father and illegally at that.
Right.
You know, we found it with the laptop. I'm over it, too.
That's all over the place.
It's all over the place. It's all over the place. The last person I wanted to just get into real quick was Leon. So episode 6, we got to hear a little bit more of his backstory. Episode 7, he just went off. He didn't want to carve the turkey.
He did at first.
Yeah, well, he did want to let Donovan.
Good old Donovan.
Dismembered the bird. What was his term?
I loved how Donovan was trying so hard to interact with them, and freaking Beckley
he
over there.
He really came in strong with like
a
good spirit, too.
Yes, he did.
Everything.
And he went through so much, and that's why he was late.
Poor guy.
Like when he actually shared the story, and she was just like,
issues,
it's fine.
Yeah.
Right.
It's fine. It's fine. I don't care.
I did agree with Leon that, you know, this guy has pretty much raised his kids. Why would he want to start all over again? But I'm still a fan of Donovan. And
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I want Julia to get the life that she wants. And I think that Donovan is really interested in her, really respects her. It's dicey.
I also don't want her to settle, though. If that's something that you've grown up... For example, myself, I've grown up always knowing that I've wanted kids, and like plenty of people are in the same boat as me. Plenty of people are on the very opposite side of the spectrum where they grew up knowing they've never wanted kids. So if that's the case, you want to have that conversation early on. And so I love the fact that they had that conversation very early on, but I don't want her to settle simply because she found a guy and potentially, you know, just this mate. But if you want kids, like that's a big factor in a relationship.
Well, I think she's also uncertain about having kids too. I don't think she was full on, I want children and this is a deal breaker. I think she's on the fence though too.
I also think she would be just a great stepmom. If she ever is
she'd
like,
be cool.
I don't think I need to do like pregnancy and infancy. But I'm really into these kids and I'm bonded with them.
I will say, I didn't so much mind the conversation that Dr. Beckley, because I can't call him by his first name. I don't know why it's so hard for me to say. Well, I think I messed up last time I was in here trying to say it. But basically, when Dr. Beckley was kind of giving her his two cents on this is your age and you should be thinking about this as a dad and also with his background, his professional background, I will say. I thought that that was all, like, good information for her to hear. Mm-hmm. Obviously, she didn't want to hear it at the time.
Right.
But it is something that she should know.
Delivery yeah. matters, though.
Definitely.
Delivery matters, and clearly he's still working it out. He's still trying to figure out what's the best way to express himself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be nice.
You're being great. Yes. You're being nicer than us.
Yeah. Yeah. Me. You're being great. Yeah. You know what's funny is even though Dr. Beckley is so vile, like he's so narcissistic.
Retweet.
And
retweet.
He's a tough one to love. I also don't hate him. There's also a part of me that know. Like.
Well, that's what they want. I think that's like what they want for us.
I do get the flip-flop of it. Mm-hmm. Like, I get why people love him. I get there's things about him that I do admire and like.
There's something charming about him.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate that.
Right, that's why he's able to do the terrible things that he's been able to do is because, I mean, he's...
Oh, my God, you know who he reminds me of?
Who?
This is so bad in every single way, shape, and form.
Oh, gosh.
Wait, I'm totally blanking on his name, but Zac Efron just played him. In
Ted Bundy.
Oh, tell gosh. Me he doesn't slightly remind you of him.
It does give you some sort of serial killer, victimizer. He is a victimizer vibe. He's charming and he knows how to get what he wants. That's what they do. So, in short,
not
Leon
a bad
Beckley
comparison.
May or may not be sort of, kind of like Ted Bundy in a weird way.
Sort
I get it.
He's a psychopath.
I'm glad you guys didn't make me seem like a psychopath by saying that.
Mentally, no, there's something off. So I get it. I agree with you.
Back to the whole thing with Julia and if she feels the need to procreate or not. Mm-hmm. You know, she has just come across leaps and bounds of family. Like, now she has all this, like, DNA share that she didn't have before. And I wonder if that'll weigh on if she feels she needs to have kids.
Right. Because she grew up being an only child.
I just got a bunch of family. Yeah. Like, maybe the burning desire to procreate herself might dwindle a bit.
Now that she has other family. Yeah, that's accurate.
I mean, you got the two sisters. They're kind of family. I don't know if just because she has all these people that are related to her, I don't know if she really feels like they're family.
And also, she might feel like it's just such a mess.
It
I
is
wonder
mess,
if part
yes.
of her might be like, I don't need to bring any more.
But in the grand scheme the of things, everyone's family's a mess.
Yeah, it's humanity. It's humanity.
Right? Yeah. We're all a little bit messy.
Right? Well, I guess we'll see the plot thickens and continues into next week. But next up, I just wanted to go ahead and wrap up these episodes and get into our news and gossip with Miss Lucero.
Yes. So, guys, what I noticed was interesting, like we said in the very beginning of this whole little episode, is that the recent episodes have kind of seemed to be shot a little different. That's what we really picked up on, the style of it all, the plot, not necessarily the plot, but it just seemed to be shot different. So we went on IMDb and we did some research. We basically found that every single show had a new director. And so that could definitely be the reason as to why these more recent episodes are seeming a little different and sticking with us a little different. You know, it's just coming across slightly different than it did in the very beginning. And I like it.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of cool to have a little different take for each episode, but I think it would also be helpful to have some consistency. I'm not going to lie.
Well, it's interesting because in TV, it's not uncommon to have different directors.
Yeah.
So, but I feel like these directors have been very, very,
very different.
I don't feel like the vision has been consistent, which might contribute to some of the issues that we've seen. I don't know. Bethany, you have any thoughts on that?
I disagree.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Not much to say about it.
Fair enough. Well, thank you, Jessica.
Of course.
Next up on the list, we have our special segment, DNA Dominoes, with Ms. Bethany. Bethany,
DNA
give us a scoop.
Dominoes.
Yes.
Like, do we have music for this? So for this week of DNA Dominoes, this one is really fun and kind of heartwarming because, you know, sometimes you meet a friend in life and they're like the great love of your life. Well, in this case, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon found out they're actually 10th cousins once removed. So they've been best friends from childhood, grew up in Boston.
That's wild.
And they are both descendants of William Knowlton, who came this way in 1603. He was a mason, a bricklayer.
Yeah. Wow.
And somehow spread his seed, and both Matt and Ben were part of that, and then they met each other.
That's
and
wow.
became Fancy. Not only best friends, but like lifetime business partners. And I thought that was really
that
cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah.
They are
How
the real
stoked
Almost
would
family.
You be if you found out, like, who's your best friend from childhood?
Uh-huh.
If you found out you guys shared blood, I mean, it would
so
blow
cool.
your mind, right?
I would
I'd be
love
happy.
That. Yeah.
Welcome. Yeah, I thought
Welcome
it was really
the fam.
Cool.
They
fam
can
jam.
Officially be at every Thanksgiving, not that they couldn't before, but
but don't you have those friends that you're always like, I need to find a way to marry you into my family.
Right.
Like,
right.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious. Do I have a brother you would do well with, or like
a cousin,
whatever.
Somebody.
Yeah, cousin. Mm-hmm.
You've got to
like,
be related
let's
somehow.
Spend holidays together.
Aww,
so accurate.
That. That's really cool. And it's so random. That's a 10 generations back,
ten,
is it?
Yeah, 10 generations back.
How that's did crazy. Did it say how they figured it out?
Yeah, it was on a British genetics. So I don't know if it was a show or mm-hmm. if it was just a British genetics research.
That's funny.
That's fancy.
I love that. We have so many ways of finding these things out nowadays.
I know. I thought it was cool. And I thought it was cool that he was a bricklayer.
Mm.
Fun fact, I'm a descendant of an English bricklayer. My maiden name is Triplets. And I'm a descendant of these three brothers that were named the Triplets, and they masoned the Tower of London. So there's supposedly a brick on the Tower of London that says Triplets.
Ah, that's so cool.
Yeah, so I was like, oh, that's cool. They're
Have you seen it?
They're bricklayers, too. No.
Maybe
I'm
you're
hoping
the
this year I'm going to go to London with my cousin.
Okay.
I'm going to go see
so
it.
Cool.
Go
Keep
find it.
Posted.
I think it's going to find.
That would be really cool. I want a brick somewhere. I don't know. It's fine.
I want a family brick.
Family brick somewhere. All right, guys. Well, let's get into some predictions.
Your
We're about
After
to get
Buzz
into the
TV
mid-season
predictions.
Finale next week.
That'll be good.
I'm so what do you guys think going into this mid-season finale, even beyond that? Do
so
you have any thoughts for the rest of the season?
We did have the little cliffhanger that just literally left us hanging with Edie walking into their house, seeing Tim talking with his parents. She had the cognac, but they for sure were on to her. To me, it felt like Tim had already told his parents, like, something's up with Edie. I'm not sure what it is. Maybe she's cheating. I don't know. I think he for sure had some sort of conversation with her. And so, obviously, that's all going to unfold next week. I am assuming she's going to come out and tell them, especially since this is the mid-season finale.
I hope so.
Right? Like, we're so over this. Just tell them the freaking truth, please. And also, what I'm thinking is Roxy can't continue to kind of have this addiction and, like, nothing's really happening. It's just her writing these doctor's notes, and that's it. They just continue to show her having this addiction. So I'm thinking that Isaac is going to find out that she stole the doctor's note. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That she basically stole those prescriptions, and he's going to sit down and talk with her about it. So...
Okay. Nice way to put it.
Mm, piggybacking on that, they might have an intervention.
That would be
great. Might get everyone involved and be like, you have this family now. We love you, and we're not going to let you go on like this.
That would be nice.
It's hard because she's taking it for pain, so it's just a slippery
There's
slope.
There's things to do for
wonder
that,
if she
though.
Needs a surgery.
And I wonder if she's really having pain or if that's the current excuse.
Yeah,
I'm going to go on a little bit of a darker path. I like the intervention. I'm all for the intervention. I hope they have an intervention. But we didn't really get a chance to talk into that prescription pad situation.
Mm-hmm.
What are the chances that he just happens to have them in his pocket? They're just
right.
lying right there. Because he's
Fake.
Always carrying them. Always have them on your person.
Especially on Thanksgiving.
Right.
I can't.
He was on call.
From the office. Oh, he was on call.
He was on call.
Okay. Oh, because you're not going to leave
your
prescription pad at the office.
It wasn't his doctor's jacket.
Right.
It was like...
His coat.
Yeah, his blazer. Whatever.
Yeah, that didn't... It didn't make sense.
But I understand why they had that moment, because they needed her to make a desperate decision, and I think that's a desperate decision to... And really a decision that shows how much of an addict she is, because I feel like we didn't really see it as much. It was alluded to. We saw it here and there. But to go out of your way to steal, to do something illegal, and to do something... you know, that violates your romantic relationship.
Exactly. She could lose him now because of that.
Right, and go to jail. There's so many things happen, implicate, like, get him in trouble. So I think now we're really going to see her addiction make a turn for the worse. And while I want there to be an intervention, I also feel like it may not change until there's something, there's a big blow up. It's got to blow up in her face somehow. And she, because Isaac alluded to it, but I think she has to realize that she needs help, and I don't know if an intervention will be enough.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's how the whole addiction process really works.
That could
really
go in a lot of directions, too.
Exactly,
she could just move out of the house and be like, I'm done with you guys.
Right.
I'm going to go back with my parents or whatever
she's
doing.
Or on the street. Or
I think it's going to come down to what she wants more, and they're probably going to bring that up with her, especially being that Isaac is a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So he's hopefully going to know how to approach it. He's not a psychologist or any of that. But I'm assuming he has a better understanding of how to approach the situation.
Right. He's shown it so far.
Yeah, you know, he's done a great job at that.
Talking about the alcoholism. So time will tell. Time will tell. Hopefully we'll find out next episode in the mid-season finale. If not, maybe in future episodes we'll
mm-hmm.
see.
I also think, not to interrupt, but I think we're seeing more about just the addictive personality with Roxy in mm-hmm. general, because I think that is why Hannah was able to slip into her life. I think she's addicted to social media. She's addicted to this, like, meeting new family members. Like, it's giving the dopamine thing for
yeah.
her.
So yeah.
It's
definitely.
Like, it's part of the addictive personality thing.
Right.
It's just these other ways that she's kind of focusing or...
Yeah, I mean,
getting
that makes
her
sense.
High.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Because she's way more embracing than the other girls. They're kind of okay, like, did you stop by and take a test?
Right,
like,
yeah.
Which is
and
a very obvious
like,
question.
Yeah,
that makes sense. I mean, I think we saw her take more alcohol than we've ever seen her take,
mm-hmm.
but... Like I said, I think time will tell. I think Roxy has a few more bad decisions ahead of her.
Up her sleeve, yeah.
In her back pocket.
Exactly. But that does it for episodes 6 and 7. Ladies, where can we find you on social media?
So you guys can follow me at JessLouSarahLive on Instagram and Twitter. What about you, Bethany?
You can find me on Instagram at BethanyJeanOfficial. That's Bethany with an I.
You guys can find me on Instagram and Twitter at PrincessCTV. I'm also on the All Rise After Show. We'll be back next week. And next week is the mid-season finale, and we're so excited to cover it with you guys. See you next week.
See you guys.
Peace out, Scouts.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.